Wendy Snyder. It's 10 minutes to 9, and I'm sitting in for Bob Surratt this morning. Now, he told me that on Wednesdays at this time, we talk to Anna DeVlantis, and we find out what's going on this week in Chicago history. Hi, Anna.
Hey, Wendy, you're right. Bob and I are kind of history nuts about this kind of stuff, and we just love going back. But I've got a couple here that I think you're going to really appreciate. Okay, number one, this one, I don't know that a lot of listeners will know of this one, but here it is. It's this week, 1942, George H.W. Bush came to the Chicago area for 3 days that shaped his life forever. He was barely 18 at the time, and the future president signed up for the military and was sent to Great Lakes Naval Air Station for 3 days. Think about that. 3 days he had. And listen to what he had to do, Wendy. He was going to learn to land torpedo bomber planes on aircraft carriers in 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Not an easy thing. Well, here was the schedule. So day one, ground training. Day two, plane training. And on day three, go do it. He made 8 successful landings and takeoffs from the Great Lakes Naval Station to the USS Wolverine, which was positioned near what is now Navy Pier. So, and after that, you know, it wasn't long before he was flying combat missions in World War II. So he landed dozens and dozens of these landings. Lots of awards for valor, as we all know, before getting shot down over the South Pacific. Here is former President Bush describing that fateful day.
The air was full of this very, very black and ominous puffs that seemed almost surrealistic. I'd been shot at before, but never anything quite this intense, and I'll never forget it. You couldn't hear it, but you could almost feel the puffs of black smoke around you from anti-aircraft coming up from the ground.
What about when you went down in the water? What was that sensation like?
That was a few minutes later, and I was hit about halfway down a run, and the plane was on fire, cockpit filled up with smoke. I had 2 men in the back of the plane, and I continued the bombing run just to release my bombs over the target. This was all split-second stuff. We were going not fast by today's standards, but red line by old standards, and released the bombs, pulled out to sea, and then I saw that my airplane was simply not flyable.
Wow, what an ace.
You think about that. Yeah, former President Bush there describing that fateful day. 3 men on board. He was the only one to survive, and
jeez,
then he floated in the Pacific in enemy territory, Wendy, for 4 hours before being rescued. Interesting, too, real quick side note, often referred to as the youngest naval aviator in World War II. Actually, historians say he was the second youngest by 5 weeks. Chuck Downey of Poplar Grove, Illinois, was actually the youngest.
So love it.
Yes.
All right. Talk to us about Bob Newhart. I love him.
I do, too. And have you ever had a chance to meet him? Bob Newhart is 93 years young. But have you ever met him?
Talked to him on the phone. Interviewed him on the phone.
I have not. And I wish I had at some point. He is just an amazing guy. Oak Park native, loved and beloved by so many across the generations, too, Wendy, you think about it. This was the week, 1972, when he was cast as the lead in the self-titled hit sitcom, The Bob Newhart Show. Still out there. You can still watch it today somewhere. But it was just incredible because he grew up in Oak Park, you know, went to St. Ignatius and Loyola, started doing comedic shorts on Chicago radio, actually. That's how he got his start as a comedian. But then, you know, you look at it and you see that the opening, the credits, are you familiar with this controversy, Wendy, about the opening credits of the Bob Newhart Show?
No, what?
Okay. So apparently some Chicagoans are losing their minds over this over the years, and it always just kind of bubbles up to the surface, and social media does not help. But if you go and you search for it, you'll see that people feel like the Chicago geography and the transportation thing that they talk about or they show in the opening credits is just so wrong that people have called it out.
Oh,
so if
please.
You watch it, I know. Newhart's character leaves his downtown office, briefcase in hand. You'll remember this. But if you actually map it, he walks the wrong direction. He goes south to head to his Edgewater Beach condo.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walks across the river, south and north and south. I don't know. He goes a couple times over. And then he boards a CTA train and gets off in Evanston, which is 55 blocks away from the Edgewater Beach condo, and walks home. So it's an artistic leap that I guess some people have, it drives some people crazy.
Picky. But Marina Tower for sure is in there, right? Towers?
So many. There's Michigan Avenue. Yeah. You see a little portion of the Wrigley Building and the Tribune Tower even. So many wonderful Chicago sites. And yeah, totally picky. But Chicago is a big part of Bob Newhart. And here he is discussing. We wanted to pull the clip about the geography, by the way, Wendy, but it's behind a Jeff Bezos paywall. So here we have a free clip.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Jeff. So we have a free clip. Bob Newhart discussing his Chicago roots.
What is it that people in Chicago give you a hard time about?
Well, I get on what in Chicago was the Ravenswood L. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking that. I'm going home from the office. And I get off that little station I got off at. That's on the ground. The L at some point goes on the ground, which is about 55 blocks from our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do this every day.
Yeah.
I miss my stop and walk back 55 blocks.
Right.
To our apartment.
Right.
Now, would you want a therapist who missed his stop every day?
And walk that far.
Always thinking about mental health back then, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. I do want to promote that, but do we have time for the Affy Tapple?
Really quick.
Okay, just Affy Tapple. This is the birth time, 1948 Affy Tapple, born on the far north side.
Big fan.
Loved the school fundraisers too.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kennedy family, thank you, Wendy. I was honored to be part of this. There's a PBS special that's going to be broadcast nationwide coming up in the fall, and the Kennedy Family Foundation has always been so committed to treating mental health issues and raising awareness. And right now, I don't know a family that is not impacted by this. They're specifically focusing on young people. They say that mental health should be treated just like physical health. If you break your arm, you go to a hospital, you get treatment. If you have a mental health condition or something you're dealing with, so often people go untreated. Either they can't afford the treatment, they can't afford the stigma attached to the treatment, or so many other reasons. And so this is going to be a really cool program that involves people from here in Chicago and all across the country sharing their stories, appealing for more help, and just kind of raising awareness. So it'll be airing in the fall, and just a really, really cool thing shot here in Chicago.
That ties in, too, because Bob Newhart played psychologist Robert Hartley. I just started with a new therapist because, you know what? We need to take care of our mental health, and we don't need to brush it under the rug. We need to talk about it.
Can't ignore it, and look for it in your family members, too, and talk to them about it as
well. Exactly. Well,
thanks,
kudos
Wendy.
To you. Nice to talk to you, Anna.
You, too.